St. Louis Tech Podcast, ladies and gentlemen. I'm once again joined by Nick and Randy, who have lots of Apple merchandise. In case you didn't know, we talk about Apple, a little computer company out in California sometimes on this show. And before we get started, I have wanted to say something about what I've been doing differently with my Apple Watch. This might be a heavily Apple Watch influenced episode,
oh, it
by
is.
The way, people.
Just all the Apple Watch.
All the Apple Watch stuff. Oh my God, there's so much dirt on this. Hold on. You can't see it though. It's fine. So I almost exclusively, ever since I've had an Apple Watch, have left it on silent because I don't like any type of loud like notification sound alert. But I realized in the settings, wait a minute, you can like adjust the volume. And I've always found it too piercing or too loud. And I had this idea for a long time. I was like, what if I just put it on barely even noticeable so that the sound is there, but it's so incredibly brief and so incredibly silent that only really you can hear it, and people that aren't you know, if you're further away from an arm's length of the Apple Watch, you barely pick it up. I've been doing that for the past couple weeks, and I love it. So now I don't have silent on the watch anymore, but when I get a text, it's just the ever most slightest is in the background.
Do you still get the feedback? Like, does it still vibrate?
Yeah, it still get the taptics.
Taptics, as our word.
It's just years later, I'm using my watch differently, and I love it.
How do you adjust the volume?
Watch. It's in settings under sounds and stuff. Okay. And you can just lower it to an absurdly low amount that you can barely even hear text messages and stuff. So I'm glad I did that.
Interesting.
That's my update.
Okay.
God, as you can see, guys, we are completely entertained. We're not out of ideas. And quarantine is going great. And yeah.
You, sir, are out of ideas. I, sir, have two very big topics to talk about. Neither of you guys are going to like this next one. So are you ready? I have some big news.
Nope, go on.
I have some very big news. Bigly news.
You bought a solid gold Apple Watch.
Unfortunately, that is not the news. It's more negative than that. Drew is going to hate me after this. And Louise might love me. I don't know.
Done. Already
Here
hate
we go.
You.
I canceled my Apple Music subscription.
Oh, okay. I was actually going to ask you about that. I saw your tweet earlier in the week.
Yep.
You canceled Apple Music.
I canceled
Not listening to enough?
No. I listen to it a lot. I listen to my music all the time, actually. When I'm working for, 12 hours a day, that's the music that I have on in the background, my one Apple Music playlist. But I realized this month was, or maybe next month, I don't know, sometime June 2015 is when Apple Music launched. And I remember I was one of the first, like that first month I subscribed to it, got my free 3 months.
Same.
Like I was on board with Apple Music from day one. So I just did some quick napkin math. And between the $5 a month student subscription I had for a while, the $10 a month regular subscription, and the $15 a month family plan that I've been paying for over the last 5 years, I've spent...
How many people were on your family plan?
All six of us. So...
Wow.
Yeah, we were getting used out of that.
Dang.
Yeah, so it's like $180 a year now is what it was, but I just canceled $14 a month. I realized I spent over $500, almost $600 on Apple Music over the past few years. And I'm like, I'm never getting that money back, ever. And that's just gone.
Yeah.
And I have nothing to show for it. Like, if I cancel it now, I lose all the music that I've been listening to. I couldn't fathom that. So I was like, oh my goodness. Then I looked into the YouTube premium subscription that I already pay for. And evidently, YouTube Music is included. And I'm not entirely sure when that started or whatever, but I just recently figured that out. And I actually went through a pretty painstaking process, took like a whole evening to transfer my entire iCloud music library over to YouTube Music. And I set up a bunch of Siri shortcuts on my phone and downloaded a bunch of music, and it's all set up. So it still works the exact same way as I used Apple Music. And I'm saving myself $180 a year, and I'm quite thrilled.
I'm proud of you from a financial standpoint. I'm insulted as an apple sheep, but at the same time,
what a crossroads
completely
to
understood.
Be in, Drew.
At the crossroads of expensive and modern technology.
I'm okay being known as the guy who encouraged people to lower their monthly expenses instead of the guy who encouraged people to spend all their money on Apple products. I'm okay with being known for the latter. Do you still have Apple Music, Randy? Do you use it?
Every single day. I will never cancel it because I actually, like Nick, I've once upon a time I did a napkin math, did a cost analysis. The amount of music that I listen to from a consumer's point of view and as a, like a as a producer's point of view, and I'm always like taking in new information and stuff like that. I almost always either break even or save money if I. The amount of music I would listen to vice paying for it.
No.
99 cents a song to a $1.30 a song. And I go through about, I mean, the bare minimum, 5 hours of music. And out of the five music, I would probably save at least 3 hours on average. And these are just rough averages. But over buying an album or buying singles – or just individual tracks, as opposed to spending the. I'm currently family planning it, so I'm saying $7.
I'm not family planning it.
No,
you're not.
I'm the only one.
Are you $9.99, Drew? Or
it's I do the annual plan.
Okay,
we switched from family plan back in October because before the way I justified it was I added a few family members and friends on the Apple. Family plan, and then they would reimburse me per month, which is what we're currently doing with YouTube Premium, which costs us $15 a month. No, I'm not nice like you, Nick.
Oh, okay.
I ask for people to pay
just
for their
paying
share.
For it,
especially if it's a family member. I tell my brother, pay up, boy.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing with YouTube Premium, and we end up paying both me and my wife get it on our accounts. $6 a month after everyone else pitches in.
That sounds about
For each or for both of you?
For both of us, $6 a month.
Nice.
So individually, about $3 a month for YouTube Premium. Nice. And I have tried YouTube Music, not too recently, though. I've heard they've made some changes. So I'm scared to try it out, but maybe based on Nick's experience, I might give it a shot just to see how it's changed. But from what I remember of YouTube Music, I didn't like the UI. I didn't like the way it handled battery. And it would also make my HomePods even more useless than they currently are if I canceled Apple Music. But the way I justify it is before Apple Music, I did buy albums and I did buy music and soundtracks that I wanted to listen to. And maybe it's less than what Apple Music is now. I don't know. I'd have to go back and track my iTunes spending back then. But it was a variable. And it was dependent on my personal taste. And it meant that if I wanted to listen to more music, I was going to spend more that month. Versus if I wasn't listening to more music, I would spend less. But the nice thing about the annual plan is that you don't think about it. It's been purchased for the year, and now you know you have all the music.
Yeah.
You can access everything and have the lyrics and have it across all your devices and have it work on the speakers. We love just even yesterday just being in the living room hanging out and telling Siri to play something on the HomePod. And I do that in my office sometimes, and – yeah, I've definitely collected a huge library over the years, so that's how they've absolutely got me stuck
right?
in that membership model. Though there's not a whole lot of Apple memberships I'm that strict on. I can only think of the other one being iCloud storage. That one just saves me a ton of money every year because it's cheaper in the long haul than paying for higher storage iOS devices, especially if you're buying a new one every year. So iCloud storage is one. There's no annual option for that. I wish there was. Even if it didn't save you money, I would still do it just for the sake of ease of mind. But Apple Music, you actually save money on doing annually. It's cheaper than Spotify because Spotify does not have a annual option. And yeah, YouTube Premium we've kind of lucked out on because when they first launched YouTube Red, it was actually cheaper than what it is now. So if you haven't signed up for YouTube Premium, I believe it's something like $13 a month for an individual and $18 for a family. But
I pay $22 for family.
Okay.
I pay $12 for something individual. High.
Okay. Well, when I signed up, it was $10 for individual and $15 for family.
Right.
And we got the $15 for family and have everyone reimbursing us. So now it's like, nice. I don't think we can ever cancel that now. Because we did the math and we were like, okay, what if we just don't want people paying us back just for simplicity's sake? Let's just go to just us be independent. And we realized if we went independent, we would have to pay more than what we're currently paying for the exact same thing that we're using right now. So we were like, okay, that's not worth it. So Yeah, those are one of the few services, you know, back last year we did a purge and we went through all of our memberships and got rid of the ones we weren't using. Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, and I think iCloud, Apple Music, YouTube Premium were kind of the big ones. I was like, nope, not budging on that. But TV Plus, nope. Disney Plus, nope. Apple Arcade, nope. News Plus, no, not doing any of that. Apple Card was free, yep. So that pays for itself, but...
Well, I was very similar feelings before I sat down and looked at YouTube Music. I was like, no way I'm going to cancel that. And I was just looking at my budget, as one does, because everyone needs a budget. And I was like, I'm spending a lot on subscriptions, like more than I should have been. And so I broke it all out, and I knew the total from, you know, a long time ago. I've always known the total subscription cost of my monthly recurring payments, but I broke it all out on a spreadsheet. I'm like, yeah, I don't need that. I don't need that. I can get rid of this. And then I looked at Apple Music, and I was like, I use that service a lot, right? Like, at first, I was like, I'm not canceling that. And then I tried out the YouTube Music thing. It's a different UI. You have to get used to different UI. It's not Apple based. It's very Android based. But
I'll give it a shot.
I pretty much only use playlists. My entire library. Oh, gross, Drew. Gross. Gross.
Why'd you put that in frame?
We got to talk about this later. Go ahead.
Yeah. I listen. My music is all broken out into playlists. I have like 15 playlists that I just normally tell Siri.
I'm blocking your number.
Okay. Please do.
This is the last
time Drew left the cheap to...
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey,
okay,
really quickly,
at first I don't like it.
Why? What is the annual subscription for Apple Music?
It's $99 flat, no 99 cents, that you pay once a year, and I do it through the Apple Card, so after you factor in 3% cash back, it equals out to being $8 a month.
So I looked at it, and I was crunching numbers. I was wrong. I'm paying about $5 a month. So that's why, that's why I haven't gone to the annual. It's like, why don't I do annual? And I was looking at it, and based off of how we divvy up everything, I pay $5 a month, so I will never not pay more than five.
What if you paid zero and you just used the service that was already included with something you're already paying for?
I have used YouTube Music, and I'm just...
You're a verified checkmark on YouTube Music. When I pulled in your music, Randy, it said Randy Vasquez, little checkmark.
Am I? Because I don't see the... I don't see it on my profile. I've looked into it. I know I'm supposed to have some type of authentication to that I am verified, or at least have the music logo. Something that actually says I am that thing. I don't know, man. It doesn't want to do it for me. And I'm like, I know I've tied everything to the profiles and stuff like that. But I know I should have certain unlocked features with YouTube. Like the community tab and stories and all. You're supposed to get more now that you're verified, even as an artist. Artist pages get more more tools to communicate with their audience. And I've never received the emails. I never looked. It's like, I mean, honestly, what I've been doing lately with the whole streaming thing and writing music seems to work, which somebody told me on one of the streams. They told me, it's like, how come you don't ever bring it up on the podcast? And just to kind of clear the air, if anybody wanted to know my stance on that, I like to separate my different lines of duty, or the way I like to separate my personas, where here we talk about tech. The other podcast, we talk about EV. Occasionally, if I'm going to do some other podcast like food or whatever, then I'm being ornery. The same reason
you're
why
always being ornery. No,
Randy. The yeah. same reason why I would do skits on like maybe the Talosov one back then. It's like it's separating of the things that I don't want to self promote. That's not my thing. But since I subtly just kind of indirectly self promote it, if you're interested, follow me.
Beep. But
I'm not
real subtle.
Not available. Yeah,
I don't talk about it here for those reasons. Just tech. All
on
tech.
The subject of music.
Music. Just on the subject of music.
YouTube Music's UI is already annoying me. I'll mess around with it later.
I'm but, telling you, you're not going to like it, Drew. I already know.
Once you set
like
it up, though, I have not had to open up the app in like 3 days.
But like, what are you doing differently then?
After
maybe
I got it all set up.
Maybe we do music different because I mean, other than the HomePods, I usually pull out the music app and pick the albums in my library to play.
Do you have a HomePod, Nick?
No, I don't have a HomePod. I just play. No, I did a while ago, but I returned it because I hated
you
that
both
darn
did
thing.
For a time.
That was the quickest return I've ever did.
Right? It's about the same. It's like, okay, 3 hours into this, I do not want this.
Costco has a 30-day return, so I went back to Costco so quick, like, I'm sorry, I can't.
I love mine.
So if you use them with a HomePod, I bet you it won't work as well. But I've set up a bunch of Siri shortcuts, so I just say exact same thing I used to tell Siri, play this playlist. And now since I have a shortcut that's using that, it supersedes the default played in Apple Music. And so it just starts playing that exact same playlist in YouTube Music all in the background. And so it's very clean.
So it's all through Siri for you.
But yeah. Nick, does it give you a curated like playlist as well the same way Apple Music or Spotify would?
It does, but I don't use those. Yeah,
oh, you
it
don't
does.
Ever use them?
No.
How do you discover music?
I don't. I have the music that I like. So that's part of the thing. I only ever listened about 200 songs. My entire
oh, yeah,
music.
You don't need the streaming then.
You need an iPod Shuffle. And you just keep that around.
I have one around here somewhere.
You could store all of your music on your watch.
Do you discover music, Drew? Or do you just stick to what you like?
I discover the latest.
I listen to Pure Pop Radio a lot on Apple Music and different radio stations that just to hear what most people are listening to, and usually I find something I like.
And then
I'll
judge them
it.
For it, like, oh, that's gross. I've been my
or I never play this song again.
I do the radio, primarily, and I know that's just their version of like playlist, but on the radio one for Apple Music, for the last 2 years, I'd play the chill station, and then over the last maybe 4 months or so, I've gotten really heavy into like lo-fi, but Apple Music does have a cool lo-fi playlist like Spotify does. And I'm like, there's a need here. Maybe I might make a playlist.
I've heard of that. I've heard that. A lot of people prefer the Spotify playlists
it's
to
amazing.
Apple Music.
Yeah.
But I just don't do the playlist thing. That's why I guess don't care
do you
about
like
that.
The radio function more? Or
yeah.
Same.
So same. How like, many like how many times a day do you guys – I was totally addicted to this. But how many times a day do you guys check – Apple Music Connect.
Back when it first launched,
time.
When it first launched, I was on it maybe daily because the artist. I'm a big Trent Reznor / Nine Inch Nails fan, and he was the one who kind of helped set up Apple Music, and the fact that they even brought him on board is like that's crazy. He's a great, you know, he scores music and. He does his Nine Inch Nails project and stuff like that. So I'm a fan of his, and he was utilizing it a lot back then because he helped make Apple Connect. So maybe it was him trying to like promote it or whatever, but I'm like, hey, cool. He started straying away from Twitter and all those other platforms. So I was like, this is something I can keep up with his music.
I can't even find it.
Yeah, it's now.
You're on a OnePlus, Drew.
Well, they have Apple Music on OnePlus, so
I think it moved or something because now
I think they got
now,
rid of it.
Moved it.
We all have a Connect. It used to only be artists, but now we all have a Connect. If you at Nick Answeeney or whatever your profile name is, at Drew Erickson, you can find mine.
Mine's at Talosov Tech.
Oh, there you go. Then you can find mine, and what it is now is just I'm sharing playlists that I've created and stuff like that. But It didn't used to be that way, so they really dumbed it down and they opened it up for everybody. So now I don't use it as much, but back when it was like dedicated artists page, I would use it all the time. But then they kind of find a way to morph it into the artist page where, like, if you went to my page, you could see the latest single, top music, and then albums.
Artists. Once again, big companies cannot make successful social medias. They're always startups that get bought out.
In the artist app on Apple Music Artists, whatever the app is, you can add customized bios, photos, whatever, and that's your new Connect page, but it's not called that anymore. It's just the page. So I use it a lot, but that's because I'm an artist, so I'm kind of more invested into it. As a consumer, people kind of went back to their defaults, which would be like Twitter or Instagram. So
right. And you can't move people from platforms.
It's hard,
I've noticed
man.
That. It's hard. Really hard to get
go
people
follow
to
Drew on Twitch.
Yeah. How many times have I asked people to do that? Yeah. And yet, still a lot of people are like, eh, don't want to download another thing. Don't want to have to change my interface, even if it's better in every way.
I get it. I understand that from a minimalist point because I stood my ground for so many years. And I'm telling you guys, if you're in that same boat, you're wrong. Go do it. I understand now. I genuinely understand. I just asked, give it a try. Drew's more active over there anyway, but it's definitely – I get it, Drew. It took me a really long time. I was against the grain, like, why? It's one more thing. And I'm hoping I can get that same, like, aha moment with Discord as well because I know you're active in Discord. But
I love Discord.
If you guys don't like, you know, downloading one – I get it. I just ask, give it a try, because I regret being so against the grain for so long, because I genuinely – some things might be better, and this is one of those cases where I think it's better than YouTube. So
ask
platform diversification is just a good idea for your brand as a whole anyway.
Very true. Well, you would know, Mr. Fuck. Woo! Almost
Mr.
said something.
What?
Almost copy strike. That almost slipped.
Family friendly, Randy. Family friendly.
As you can tell, I was upset about what had happened to the strikes. So
yeah,
man, yeah. But that was an eye opener right there, for sure.
Woo! I'm happy to say now, we'll be okay even if we lost YouTube. I can say that.
That's good.
We'll be fine.
You're smart.
Yeah,
and that's because of your. I would say it's two fronts that you've gone through the whole diversification, not just with finances or business structure, but also downsizing things like the streaming services that you canceled.
Except Apple Music and iCloud. We're not ditching that.
Or
I'm not ditching iCloud. I ditched three, Apple right? Music.
Music, iCloud, Premium, right? Those are the only three?
YouTube Premium is the only TV streaming service we pay for, if you count it as TV.
I don't. Well, should we?
Some people don't. I mean, we watch YouTube on our TV all the time.
I don't
so
count
that's
TV
why I...
the way you might be using it in a sentence. I use the TV now as like a really big monitor for YouTube. It's a big
both
monitor.
Both of you freeload on my Disney like... Plus account, which I freeloaded on from Verizon. So we're all just
true.
Freeloaded.
To be fair, though, we have been using Disney Plus very little, even though we didn't pay for it and we have access to it for the rest of pretty much the rest of this year.
Yep.
We don't use it for much. It was basically like Mandalorian and okay, it's over. Now what?
The World According to Jeff Goldblum. Such a wholesome show. How dare you? I know we've talked about this.
Here's to bring it back to Apple because that's why people are here. Do you guys think TV Plus will be
a thing in 10
years?
I thought they were here to
listen
to me talk.
I think
no.
Oh,
no.
God, no. Okay.
I think TV Plus will definitely be a thing. I think it's only going to get better. You know, first years are always the slowest on pickups, but I'm pretty sure we talked about this before. Netflix had the same thing when they started putting out their originals, like with House of Cards and then Orange is the New Black and then blah, blah, blah. And then it blows up, and now Netflix is primarily its own – it has just its own stuff. It always has a little end now. And
yeah.
Netflix is – I'm not going to pay for it, but that's because I'm just financially stubborn. But my mother-in-law does, so – there, I'm in for life. But so we do watch it, but just because we're bumming it off of family.
That's why it's so expensive.
Yeah,
I think they justify their higher prices because they know how many people are using others' accounts. We did
it's
that
so
for a long time
good,
too.
Though, like some of their shows are like it. it makes me hesitant. Like, man, I would want to come back to this at some point. I think Apple will get to that with their own originals, just because Apple put $1 billion into it. They put money mm-hmm. into this. There's no way they're going to let that die. And they're playing the long-term game, because the TV or the entertainment industry as a whole, when it comes to video, I believe is a long-term game. And I think – I mean, Drew, yeah. obviously you share that same belief. I think that this is something that is going to compound over time. Prices will increase over time, and it's another streaming service. Really? Yeah, and I think
that'll turn me away. But, $5 a month is pretty good, but it's still not good enough for me.
Imagine if for $5 a month now they do like legacy prices. Hey, you locked in at this. Never cancel, otherwise it will go up.
Never cancel.
Or it will go up. You need to buy full self-driving right now, or it's going to go
yeah,
up.
Yeah, I was going to make that same comparison. You get factored in like full self-driving. No, I think if they're willing to give away a year for free, then that's pretty evident that they're planning the long-term game here.
Sure.
They're planning on like investing and keeping content coming to it for a long, long time. But I do hate the fact that I get push notifications about new shows on TV Plus.
Yeah,
turn off the notification for that app.
Hmm?
Turn off the notification for that app.
I thought I did, but it keeps coming around. Maybe I have to turn it off again, but I don't like those. But yeah, I think even if the confusing thing about a lot of the services they launched is we'll have no idea how well they're doing, because Apple doesn't disclose that info. It all gets bundles into services, including AppleCare, iCloud, Apple Music, Apple Card, you know,
sneaky,
all of those
sneaky.
Can bunch together, and they'd be like, services are doing great, and you know, Apple News Plus could be plummeting, but because iCloud or Apple Music's doing great, then they get to say it's fine. So yeah, I'm very curious, like, because if they start advertising more TV Plus shows, could that be evident that it's going well or that it's going terribly? So they're hoping more people subscribe. Like, you could take it either way. It's kind of impossible to know how well it's doing.
Do you think Apple News Plus will show potential the moment they Dang. It's such a terrible app. I'm just thinking about it. Like, because even how I'm trying to structure the question, that there's already plot, you can poke holes in it, and it's completely valid. But I'll ask the question anyway. Do you think if they found a way to work with some of these news companies or these like National Geographics, CNN, whatever, where exclusive content is pushed to that app, does it then justify it? So not just breaking news, which you can obviously see anywhere, but just certain specifics, exclusives. Hey, Cybertruck, we got an exclusive interview with Elon Musk with a 30-minute full in-depth Cybertruck thing on Apple News Plus. Stuff like that, but for the masses. Do you think that could then show more value with a subscription? I feel like that's the only thing it can show life, but even then there's
I don't personally
it. Yeah,
but go ahead, Nick.
I was just I'm just still upset at Jay Leno, because I was all pumped for the stupid interview, and like,
yeah,
it was 7 minutes and boring. There were good b-roll
different
shots
podcast.
Of my favorite car.
Wrong
but
one
stop
wrong
it.
One
stop it.
You asked me to start talking, Drew. That's all your fault.
Okay,
no
I'll
blame.
Keep talking then. News Plus wouldn't matter because it's too easily pirated, because all of that kind of exclusive info, you can grab the most interesting parts and quote it in other articles. In this report, because we have one guy who pays for News Plus, so we have one guy who pays for that service, he reported this. So the idea of paid news or exclusive news is becoming more and more, I think, irrelevant as news is so easily distributed through Twitter and Google. And I think of all the services they launched, that one's probably the most dated idea, that you pay for, you know, news
gifts.
Articles because they move and they have fancy covers on them, and that's worth $10 a month. I know what they're trying to do. I think they were looking at the premium news services that offer subscriptions, and they were trying to unify them and make them feel like they have purpose and stuff. But again, we have no idea how it's doing. But I would guess that that's if there was a service of all the ones they announced last year to be canceled, that would be it. I would say that one's probably going to perform the worst, or at the next Apple event, I'm sure we'll hear about. They'll be like, we've decided to lower the price to $4.99 now. You know, just do something with it to try to make it more
maybe
appealing.
Maybe Apple was in some type of contract with some of these guys that they're like, oh, we signed a 3-year or a 5-year.
I'm pretty sure they did. That's what I've been hearing.
Man.
Is that that's also part of the reason they can't bundle it is because of some type of contract deals with these journalists that they can't back out of. So there's no way for them to bundle News Plus with music or iCloud or Arcade or something. As much as they may want to, they can't. So I'm guessing that's going to be the most tedious, troublesome, because it's kind of different from TV Plus, which is like Apple's all funding all of it, so they own the rights to it, and they can't lose those rights. Same with Apple Arcade, is they kind of own the rights to these arcade games, so they can't lose them later. With News Plus, Apple's not becoming a journalist. They're just still partnering with other journalism companies. So I think that is what makes it so troublesome. That's why it's twice the price of TV Plus and Arcade. And, you know, that Apple Music's $10 a month because Apple's not a music company. But
they should make some originals. And Apple Podcast Plus, sign me up. Cannot wait.
I think Apple Weather's
going to
be a
thing. Hey, if Joe Rogan can go to Spotify, we could go to Apple. Come on now.
I made a tweet about that. I was like, if we're just picking exclusive platforms here, we won't mind doing it for free.
Hey, speak for yourself, Drew. I heard Joe Rogan got $50 million. I would like, you know, $10 million.
Oh, over $100 mil.
Over $100 mil
for a multi-year contract with Spotify.
But to be fair, the Joe Rogan podcast will still be free. You'll still be able to listen to it and watch it in video form for free on Spotify because they're launching a video platform. So we might have to accommodate for that. But if we became some exclusive partnership with Apple or something, which would be hilarious, but great. We should make the video podcast exclusive to Apple TV. Mm. It won't require TV Plus. You won't have to
pay. I'm not
going to
be recording
to the
in 4K
TV
HDR, Drew, though. That's the thing.
No, you won't. It'll be the same as it is now.
Good. But if you could, then, yeah, we're going to make the investments.
Well,
in
as
the,
soon as Starlink
if
comes
we get
and we fix Randy's
Apple,
internet.
If we get picked up by Apple, we are going to invest what we need to keep this partnership healthy and alive, gentlemen.
We're going to need Pro Display XDRs for our angles.
I need 6 of them just with the stands
to get the color accuracy
for
just
the
right.
Angles.
Each. We're going to have to color correct each of our angles on Pro Displays in the vertical mode.
In the vertical. Turn the display.
Right.
By that point, exactly. Maybe Apple will give us like an editor, like a true, like legit, no BS, like video editor or color.
Then what would I do? I want to be the editor, Randy.
You're the looks, boy. What are you talking about? Drew's okay. The face. You're the looks. I'm the personality.
Speaking of looks, did you see the leak for the redesigned leather?
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Watch me. I know Nick doesn't like it. Have you seen
it?
No!
I feel like I did, but with that type of reaction, I don't know. Can you send it to me real quick?
I'll text it. Yeah, I'll text the link to the group
okay.
chat. But basically, they're making the leather band
Whoa.
Not
Whoa.
A loop, and they're
Whoa.
Making it more of a sport band, just, basically. And I don't know if I like that. I'm looking at pictures, and let me be clear. I think it's real. I don't think this is fake. These look totally legit. These look like something Apple would do, and I don't know if I like it.
It looks fine on the table. Like, it looks cool on the table, but
I like the colors.
The colors look
yeah,
cool,
colors
I guess.
Nice.
Yeah. But once there's that video with the lady who wore it, and she like had like B-roll of her wearing it.
Yeah.
It does not look premium at all. It looks like some cheap sport band that should be $100. And I'm sure
to me, it looks hard to put on. I thought the whole beauty of the loop band
it
was
looks
that.
Much easier than this, because this one you have to you have to thread it through this little eye first, and then pull it, and then
I thought it was more like the Milanese, and you just never unhooked it from the loop.
No, you have to unhook the loop to get it off.
You have to unhook it from the loop.
But this one, it looks like you just go like that, and it like just sticks on. So it does look more convenient.
Oh my gosh.
But it looks
so why
ugly.
Don't you like it, Nick?
It looks like a sport band.
I'll tell you why Nick doesn't like it, because it does not because me having the loop as well, and I do use it occasionally for very special occasions now. It does not, just from the style of it, stylistically and even functionality wise, it just does not look premium.
Exactly. Like
how
is so thin, and like the little. It's not chunky. Like, it just lays on your wrist, and it just looks...
So it's the little magnets you're mad about, the little bump.
It's the bump. It's the whole look.
I also think it's because the fold on it, when you put it right here, it's kind of sexy. It feels good. It's the best I can describe it. As Nick was saying, it's so thin that you can fold on it, and it's still thinner than what I just looked at right now.
Mm.
And I do like their fastening mechanism.
What if this is a cheaper leather band?
I like the new fastening mechanism. I would be all for not having to thread this little thing through each time I wanted to use it. The bumps are hideous.
Problem is I really, really like those colors. So,
do you think this one will still be $150, or do you think this
$100.
Redesign allows them to make it cheaper?
The leather loop's $100 now.
Mm.
Is it?
Oh, it's $100 now.
I'll think
this will be... Do you think this redesign will be $100 still?
Yeah. It'll just replace it.
Yeah, to me that's not worth it. I mean,
no,
leather is leather.
I might go get another old one before they exchange them at
DubDub. Isn't it technically less material though?
No.
Because it doesn't have the loop now.
And it doesn't have the sides are longer. So the small side on the original leather loop is a lot shorter.
Oh, I see. So it is about the same amount.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know why they're doing that then. I guess for simplicity's sake, just it's easier to put on.
I think, hear me out. I think with the maybe the bigger wireless pad that they'll bring out, if they still call it air power, then whatever. But they want to do away with all loops.
Hmm.
Well, this doesn't, I mean, the air power wasn't really an issue with the leather loop. It was more of an issue with the sport,
no, I know, but just consistency across the board. Now,
okay.
I could totally still use this with a leather loop, though, Randy.
I know, but what I'm saying is that the act of strapping it, if you can take away another step, and it can lay flat.
But this doesn't solve the majority of the problem, is my point, because you still don't have Milanese loops working in the link bracelet or the sport loop, which is like the majority.
They're not selling this well. I feel like they're not selling well. I'm be honest with you.
The sport loop isn't selling well?
The sport loop, not that. No, the Milanese and all those. Like, I think – I have a feeling those things are going to be phased out or redesigned as well. I don't think they're selling well. I will not pay $300 to $500 or whatever absurd amount they used to charge for something when on Amazon you can get it for $15 and it's the exact same thing.
I agree. It's not. I'm not arguing it's worth it. I'm just saying.
I don't care about the quality, Nick. I'm talking about
to make
about
an
the
accessory that doesn't work
looks.
With your. Mm-hmm. Well, the best news I could possibly grasp from this is that they're working on bringing Qi charging to the Apple Watch. That's my only hope. That's coming from this.
I think that's optimistic.
Yeah, I know it is, but if that's the only. Some good news I can find from this. that's
some
what
good
I will
news
find.
Sold Nick. To mm-hmm. NBC for millions of dollars.
CBS.
This isn't Talos of news. You can say that for the other show. Since we like to just start podcasts for everything now. Nick, you said you had a second bit of news for us.
Oh, yes, I did. I'm looking at ordering another black leather loop before they disappear and turn ugly. But the
How
other,
many do you have?
I just have two right now. This one's the old one.
Just two.
Well, okay, they're about to become gone again. And last time when I bought this was my favorite loop, and it disappeared.
So you need three.
Well, no, listen to me. Gosh, guys, I'm just having extra for when they get rid of them again. Because when they get rid of them again,
it's going to get redesigned.
I don't want the redesign. I like the old design.
No. I mean the watch. Eventually, you're going to have to swap out old loops.
I'll get an adapter.
You only have two wrists. Maximum, you can wear two at once.
You're not using big brain, Drew. Oh, no.
Oh, now he's going to put two on one wrist.
You're so essential or minimal.
These are collector's items, Randy. These don't even work anymore.
He's going into full-on maximalism.
Maximalism. See, I too can't use... I need three leather loop bands, guys, because how else will I do this?
You look like you're in some new age punk rock band.
What up, guys?
Looks like the new gothic girl at high school.
Yeah, you look like you watched the new Teen Titans.
I'm embarrassed that I did this. All right, the piece of news. I left my iPhone 11 Pro Max for 5 days, switched SIMs, and went to a whole nother device just to see how it worked. And it was a fun experiment, and I felt like a full-time YouTuber because I switched to a more inferior device than I went from before.
That's exactly what it's like.
Seeing how you used an SE for a while, yeah. I switched to the iPhone X, which is currently also being used to record. And
such a loss.
It was such a loss, but, you know, it wasn't terrible. It was fun.
Because it's not that different.
It wasn't that different. And it really just showed me how solid of a phone it was in 2017.
3 years ago.
That, I have almost no complaints. Besides the smaller screen size, I never really even used the camera on the day-to-day. It was really just the screen size that was... I actually liked the feel of it better. In the hand, iPhone X felt better than the iPhone 11 Pro. Now, pictures and looking at it, iPhone 11 Pro looks much better with the matte back. But I just love the feel of the gloss back. It was glorious to go back to that. And it felt so small and pocketable. But then whenever I went to watch a YouTube video, I was like...
I just don't like the keyboard.
The keyboard was too narrow. Small. That is true.
Yeah. That's why I won't go back, but... I might test out a 5.4-inch 12 this year. I think that might be a fun experiment going that tiny.
5.4 inches, my goodness. Better get your stylus out so you can peck through little keys.
No, thank you.
Smaller but sizes.
If it's,
oh, go ahead.
If it's true that the 6.7-inch iPhone is coming later and it's delayed versus the iPhone 12, I'd rather get the 5.4-inch 12 just for the... design change, just for the fact that it'd be so tiny and I haven't used a phone that has like Face ID and the OLED, but that small a form factor would be kind of interesting to try out. We'll see.
Besides iPhones that are small, iPads that are small.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
2 days ago.
Transition.
I used the 11-inch iPad Pro.
Ooh.
And
how was that?
I had a family over, and they know.
Oh, okay.
They know. One of them knows. They're familiar with my extracurricular activities of doing stuff like this, and so they're like, "Hey, Randy, da da da." You know, so they like to talk Apple with me. That's how they say it too. And yeah.
Hey, Randy.
Remember, if I said it like it, that's exactly how they sound. And and they brought their MacBook Air, and I had to help clean this 125 gig mess. Anyway, that's a whole nother story. But I will never get a MacBook Air now that I got to use it hands on for a long time. Like, oh,
was
wow,
it the 2018 or the old one?
2019.
Okay.
So anyway,
gotcha.
But the iPad, the 11-inch iPad Pro. Oh my goodness, I get it. I actually went. I pause. I go. I think I like this one more.
Yeah, it has that effect.
I was holding it. I was like, the lightness of it and just the everything. I was holding it in portrait. And I asked her, I said, why did you get this one, not the other one? She goes, I'm really using it. She has her own business, her own mobile business of animal grooming. So she goes to locations and she goes, I just use it for my planner. And then when I do receipts, and she goes, it's a business expense. Mm. But the way she writes on it, she goes, I want to hold it like this or maybe like this. But she goes, I held, and then I gave her mine and she's holding it. She goes, absolutely not. This is ridiculous. And I said, the only reason why I was even sold on this was because the screen real estate helped me for when I was using like LumaFusion, or I do like watching YouTube on it. And she's like, you know, honestly, like I then at that point I get it, but it's too cumbersome to want to just kind of lug this around the whole time. And I was like, I'll be honest with you, ever since I got this keyboard, I don't really lug it around with everything. I'll just detach it and take it with me. But
yeah,
since I used the 11 inch, I've been a bit turned off on the 2.9, to be honest. Like, I'm not going to get rid of it. I love this thing, but I understand now. And I think whenever a couple of years from now when I upgrade, I might actually downsize to the smaller one, because there's something – it reminds me of what the iPad was meant to be for me, and it's portable. Mm. It's mobile.
I liked it, yeah.
It's something cool. I don't know. I liked it.
I think given the current iPad Pro I have, I'm very satisfied with, and I like the size of the keyboard, and I have the keyboard case, and I'm keeping it and everything – if the next gen iPad is primarily just mini LED, cool dynamic range crap or whatever, and that's it, then yeah, I don't see the point of buying the larger model and getting another keyboard case if it doesn't work, or replacing this one, because it just, I already have like my 2-in-1, and right. I don't think this is even going to be dated next year. I think this will still work fine in 2021. So 11 inch might make sense as like, okay, the new iPad is out and I want to talk about it, want to review it, and the new features, the display, I can appreciate that on the smaller form factor. So I don't know if I like the idea of having two iPads, because I think that's redundant. But
that's silly. Like two Apple Watches or leather, yeah. Or leather loop bands.
Two watch bands of the exact same kind is beyond Apple sheep to me.
Okay, Drew, that one is like almost dead. Like the leather has
almost
worn
dead?
Down. The leather has worn down to a point where you can see the magnets. You can actually see the magnets. The leather is so worn.
So because okay, it's well, wearing down, you buy more.
I bought a new one so that when this one falls apart, which might honestly happen while I'm holding this, then I don't have to use the ugly one that they're going to come
out with. Then why do you got to buy a new one after that?
I don't think I'm not actually going to buy a new one after that. Come on, guys. I'm not crazy.
I hope they lower the price. That would make me okay with it more.
My fear, Drew, is if they lower the price, I fear that they lower the quality. And I know that's what they want you to think about paying more. But I think with Apple, if they put more cushion and more magnet and less leather, and that's why they lower the price, it's an inferior product and I wouldn't want it. That's my fear.
I won't want it either way. That's why I guess I'm okay with it dropping. Just from a business standpoint, it's too expensive. But
business.
People like Nick will buy it. Not exactly Nick.
I'm not going to buy this one. I don't like it. Oh my gosh.
I know.
This.
Not you exactly, but people like
you. I can't
you
get a break, guys.
Collect the watch.
I've always been typecast.
Yeah, I just feel bad for those who bought the $500 link bracelet and day the watch band won't work. That's going to happen someday.
Absolutely not. Do you know how much of a like Apple Music subscription that just bought you? 5 years. About a little less than 5 years according to Nick's math. So would you rather have longevity of some type of service or a piece of metal that's about to be eventually dated? Would you rather use that money towards something that – you know what I was thinking? Here's a question. Here's a genuine question that I don't think I have an answer for. What do you think is the best value long-term that you would buy an Apple product for? Is it iMac, iPad? So maybe now iPhone.
iPad.
iPad, you think that one is the best long-term buy?
The $800 or certified refurbished, if you count that, 11-inch iPad.
No,
Pro.
I'm not counting it because then that's a whole nother
okay. Equation. If you don't count certified refurbished, then I'd say the iPad Pro because it's still ahead of its time. It's very There's nothing else on the market like it. It's got USB-C. It's got 120 hertz. It's got Face ID that works in multiple directions. The display is great. I don't care that it's an LCD. It still looks fantastic. The brightness is wonderful. The accessories for it, let it be a 2-in-1. Apple Pencil 2 docking mechanism is great. The CPU, GPU are way ahead of their time. It's going to get software updates for years and years and years. And it starts at $800. I can't think of an Apple product with a better value that can do that much.
I can't.
Like, the Macs are all productivity-based. It's like, well, yeah, you got to buy a Mac because it has a CPU that's this fast or has a GPU that can handle this. It's like, yeah, but it's still just going to sit at your desk and be a Mac. It's not that fun. You know, the hardware, the stuff that matters for work is prioritized with the Mac, but not so much the aesthetics, not so much the playful stuff. It's still 60 hertz. The webcams still kind of suck, and battery lives aren't great, and the prices on Macs are obviously much higher than the iPad. So iPad Pro is my favorite. That's why best value.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
What was the question exactly, Randy?
The question was, what do you think is the best value long-term of a product that Apple has that you can have? He says $800 iPad. You got to think of something better. I got something better. $700 wheels. That's going to hold you
up. That's a great point. I didn't think of that.
That's going to
make a skate 500 years from now, those wheels will still work.
Those stainless steel wheels will still be there.
They better. Well, what's better value than all of those is the $499 iPhone XR that they're selling refurbished.
He said that didn't count.
You can't use refurbished.
But yeah. I agree, that's a great value.
Well, I was trying to slyly transition. Are you still looking for my answer, Randy? Obviously.
If you don't have an answer,
is this?
I don't know what this is. What are you talking to me on?
You don't know.
Oh yeah.
Are we on the iPad?
You can't see from there.
You just brought me closer to your mouth. That's all you did. I feel violated, quite frankly. I didn't ask for that. I didn't consent to that. Also, I'm in your mouth. I'm like, I don't like this at all. What is this? I was just asking a question about value. Also, it's like, hey, look at it. Like, I feel attacked.
Randy,
was
Nick's
that a personal
mouth is
attack
valuable.
Or something?
I just got me too'd. I'm kidding. All right. What's
Nick's
up?
Mouth is valuable.
It is the most valuable thing. Obviously,
the stuff that
iPad
comes
Pro,
out of that mouth, I don't know. Sometimes
12.9 inch, fourth generation with the Magic Keyboard with LTE and way
don't
too much
combine
storage.
The products. Just a singular product.
Just a singular product. 12.9 inch iPad Pro.
12.9 inch.
Okay. So we're pretty close.
Whatever.
Mine was just the.
I'll be honest with you. I don't think I wasn't leaning towards the iPad as the best long term.
I was thinking
value.
SE would make a good one.
Yeah, I was thinking maybe something that's the best value. So when I think value, I'm not innately thinking cost value. I mean longevity. I mean overall experience ecosystem. I mean just abroad. I want to cover as much on the Apple spectrum as possible, and I feel like. The iPhone, maybe SE now. Again, I don't have
$400.
I don't
hard
have an answer.
Beat.
Yeah, and it has the latest chip. Or
yep.
Yeah. So
A13.
As of right now, iPhone 5S is still being software supported. So by 5S I mean design. I mean SE, the old SE.
Yeah.
That's what I meant. I meant like the oldest form factor that we saw in 2012. Is that style is still being supported?
It's still getting software updates
today,
yeah.
And so by that analogy or by that logic, 8 years later, by the design factor, because they do include design when it comes to the UI as well. So
right,
I can only imagine what the iPhone 6 design now mm-hmm. ported into the iPhone SE, how long that's going to get support for people who just like a phone that just works. That might be maybe
5-6 years.
I would say iPhone SE as the brand, SE, might be the best value for most things, because you will get something that just works. It doesn't have to have the best of the best. It doesn't have the worst of the worst anymore. SE brings everything always up to today's standard, yeah. whatever that SE will be. And maybe iPhone SE is what has truly bridged that gap of, we are a premium and we are better than you, to the people's like, I really want to get into this and I don't know how without maybe they don't know about certified refurbished and stuff like that. SE might be the very one product that actually then gets you connected, be the hub for all other hardware, software, and experience.
I think obviously it's different categories, so it's kind of hard to compare the two. But the reason I would tip it over to the iPad is because I think it's more ecosystem friendly than an iPhone. Mm. As in, I still know a lot of people that use Androids but will have an iPad just because that's the better tablet, and there's no better tablet than an iPad. And because of that, I think it's a better value, because most people, there's some weirdos out there, you know, that have two phones who would have more than one. But if you – most people pick one. That's the one that's in their pocket because they just want one SIM card, one mobile plan. But iPad Pro is compatible with like – yeah, it goes great with the iPhone. But if you don't want to have an iPhone – you can have a tablet, and it's even compatible with, like, you already have a desktop, or some people even have a laptop, but then will have the iPad for more fun, more less productivity based stuff. If they're just social media managing, email, especially photo editing, making video thumbnails, that kind of thing is just better on the iPad than it is on a desktop. And to me, that's what makes it more compatible and more, you know, qualifiable for more people. Yes, it's more expensive, and the SE is obviously really cheap, and the A13 chip is great, but I feel like its market is more limited than the iPad in a way, even though I get phones are more popular. But it's more limited in the sense that you have to be comfortable with home button, touch ID, big bezels, iOS for your mobile phone. You're committed to that now. And the hardware on it is good enough, gets the job done, but I feel like iPad Pro hardware goes above and beyond. It's above just it gets the job done. That would be something like the budget iPad or the iPad Air. Those would be, if we're going purely off of cost, probably the best value. But if we're talking over experience for your dollar, I feel like now with the dual camera and LiDAR chip, even, you got all these great compatibility options. $800 and you get 128 gigs of storage compared to the iPhones at 64. You can do 4K at 60 on those cameras. You got Face ID that works better than the iPhones even. And because that can work with people, iOS or not, I've seen even people say that iPad is the best Android tablet, just because there's no other Android tablet you can get that will result in a better overall experience than the iPad does. So that's why it's still my favorite Apple product.
Wow.
Best value. Very you get a lot out of that
good
thing.
I would say all that plus the 12-inch, 12.9-inch, makes it all that much more practical and useful. Because the 11-inch, yes, there's the portability aspect, which I've held 11-inch iPads. And
$200 cheaper.
And are we talking about cost, though? Like, we said value. Like,
it's a factor.
Exactly.
So I guess it's... I'm asking, do you think the 12.9-inch over the 11-inch is warrant of an extra $200? Do you get $200 more of an experience?
I would say for what I do, yes. I edit all of these shows in LumaFusion, and I could not fathom doing that on an 11-inch because, I mean, I'm sure it would work fine and everything, but it already feels cramped on a 12-inch, and I would be all in on a 16-inch iPad. But that's a different conversation. Yeah.
Right.
It's
what's interesting... as we were talking about cost and value, as I was looking at the certified refurbished section for iPhones recently, and they are selling refurbished iPhone 8s, but only in the 256 gig configuration for $470, which I thought was interesting. And someone yesterday, I can't find one now, but someone yesterday said they found an iPhone 8 Plus refurbished from Apple, and it was cheaper than the SE.
Huh. 270.
When I saw that, what's that?
Oh no. 469. Okay. I see the iPhone 8. Okay.
Yeah. So it's like you can spend an extra $70 and get four times the storage if you go with an iPhone 8. But I guess you won't get the A13 chip or portrait mode. So there's a bunch of loss there. Yeah. Maybe for someone who doesn't care about camera but just wants storage, might be a better move. But the 10R,
yeah, that
being
10R,
at $499 now.
About to say that 10R.
That's a great deal.
$499 or $539, $40 more to double the storage and go up to 128. Like that
this is what,
the best deal. 128 that, refurbished 10R.
That price point is what makes me think the SE Plus isn't going to happen.
Oh, no.
There's no room in the lineup. If they're willing to refurbish the 10R at $499, I feel like there's no need for a $499 SE Plus or Plus model with a dual camera or something like that. I just don't see it happening.
There would not be a need for SE Plus, in my opinion, because once you they have a price range for every dollar range. And trying to make an SE Plus fit in the lineup, you start to conflict. There's an overlap in a bad way in regards to features that you gain and what you have to let go of, and it might muddy the waters. I think the 6 Plus design served this purpose for its time. It's time to move on.
It's gone. It's gone. It's completely gone.
Yeah.
So usually if design heads out, it doesn't come back. That's how Apple has been with iPhones in the past. They don't discontinue the original SE and then bring it back later with a new updated design. Like if it's gone, the assembly lines aren't operational.
The iPhone 3G design never came back. So
no. Or the 4.
Or the 4.
You know, when it was done, it was done.
Yeah.
Or the 5C. They may carry off of that design later. You know, we're getting the squared off design this year, but not the same form factor or anything like
that. For sure. Yeah.
So, yeah, that's why I see it as, you know, if they're not selling the 8 Plus now or anything in that footprint, then it's not coming back.
What about a 10? I'm looking $599 for a refurbed iPhone 10.
There's some benefits with that. There's some losses
OLED,
too.
You get double camera.
Much worse battery life, though.
True. 10R did have 10R still has the best battery life, doesn't it?
No.
It got beat by all of the 11s.
All of the 11. Okay. I should follow this Apple thing a little bit closer. Then I wouldn't be asking.
It's bizarre
these
how
questions.
Well I know these things, but the 10R was better than the 10S and 10S Max.
Yep.
But the following year, they improved the battery life for everything. So 11 was an hour longer than the 10R.
Hmm.
And then 11 Pro is about 2 hours longer than the 11. 11 Pro Max is a bit longer than that. 11 Pro Max has the best battery now. So I'm happy with that because I feel like the most expensive, biggest iPhone should get the best battery life. That's how it should work. But it didn't work like that in 2018, which had me kind of frustrated. But 10S Max was okay. It got me through the day. 10 was noticeably, like, barely making it through the day.
Really?
For me, it was. For some people,
it could work.
I didn't
have a single problem with my 10 when I used it for 5 days, and it's a 90% degraded battery. I was really happy with that. Like,
well, I guess it depends on our usage. We use them for different things.
Exactly. But, I'm sitting at my desk.
Objectively, still getting a better battery life with the 10R. And a bigger screen if you care about that. But yeah, there's some trade-offs, but that's a huge debate. I've seen a lot of people go back and forth on 10R versus 10, which is better.
10R. I say 10R is better.
I think most people, I'd say 10R. There's a few people that would appreciate the 10's premium features, though.
I think
10 feels nice in the hand, though. I'll say that. Ugh.
If you genuinely care about, you know, inky blacks and a higher resolution, 10. But for most people, I think outside of even tech community and people who are fanatics, the first thing I always hear is battery. That's the first thing. First is battery. In fact, I don't even hear camera. I thought camera would be up there. They're like, it's a camera. They're like, battery. Battery is the most important thing. And then the second thing is no fault to the phone, but they go, battery, signal. So it's more about their carrier at that point. They care about their signal.
Yeah.
And then at that point, it's like, look, they're all going to have Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. That part's just, it's there. If you're getting an iPhone, you know what you're getting with iOS. If you're getting Android, you know what you're getting with an Android device. But
well, cameras, the problem is that they're all so good now. Man. It's very difficult
even
to
even if you take a terrible
photo,
there's all these editing apps that help you really bring them to life. As I tried with my 5S, I was like, you know, it's not
even
bad.
On this thing.
Yeah, the cameras.
The camera's fine.
How do you feel about that phone, Drew? We haven't really talked about that yet.
Yeah, it's...
What's the refresh rate on it? Isn't that the big feature of it? 90 hertz?
There wasn't really a big feature on this phone, okay. Other than 5G,
wait, which
I guess.
Phone is
it? Has that. This is the OnePlus 8, because that's what Mint Mobile offered to send me for free without asking me
I
to
love
talk about
Mint!
Them, so.
Mint's amazing!
That was nice of them. I'm only mentioning it because I don't want people thinking I paid money for that thing, because I wouldn't if I was in the market. The OnePlus 8 Pro is better, and I would have loved to test that, but it's sold out pretty much everywhere. There's a few places you can buy, but places I'm not comfortable buying from. And a lot of them are more expensive than what they would cost retail. So maybe if OnePlus has more in stock later, I'll compare the two. But it's essentially the same phone I reviewed last year, the 7 Pro, just without the pop-up camera, which I didn't really care for the pop-up camera.
Does that
now
have
it's
a
just
notch?
A camera hole,
a hole.
In the corner. 90 hertz display, which I like. It's great. It's incredibly light, very thin. It's a little too tall. I think all Androids are following this trend of going about an inch taller than they need to be, because just from ergonomic standpoint, it's
harder
to reach
stuff up there. Is it ergonomically correct?
It's not ergonomically correct to me, but still no wireless charging and still no IP rating, but the OnePlus 8 Pro has that for $200 more, I think. And it also has 120 hertz on the 8 Pro, so that's
and what
clearly
is that one
the better
retail
phone.
For, the blue one?
900? Oh, no, no. 8 Pro is 900. This is 700,
oh, okay.
Which I think is a pretty good deal, considering it's 128 gigs of storage, and I get to keep it, so we get to see the long-term effects of it. Fingerprint reader. Yeah, the resale value be tanking. But Snapdragon 865, so I have the latest Snapdragon CPU for now. It's just very boring. There's not much to say about it.
Is that why you haven't done a 30-minute review video on it yet?
I will. I don't know if it'll be 30 minutes, but it's mainly going to be about why OnePlus should not release four phones a year, because they don't have much to say or do.
Yeah.
especially if they bring a lot of their premium features to phones like this. I'd be okay with them doing four phones a year if one phone was like $500 and the other phone was $900. There's enough differentiation here, but there's not enough separation here from the 8 and 8 Pro that it's redundant. Mm-hmm. And that's why when I unbox this phone and I show people I have it, they're like, why'd you get that? What's the point? Like, no one even wants to hear about it, which makes it funny to review, because I get to be like, look, everyone, the OnePlus 8. And everyone goes, I don't care. Why didn't you get the 8 Pro? That fixes all your
just
issues you had
nine.
With the 7 Pro.
Last I checked, OnePlus 8 is 9.
Yeah, exactly. Why do they have to do 8T Pro and 8 and 8 Pro? There's too many overlap. There's too much overlap here. So they need to have a flagship line and a budget line. And right now they're kind of doing that, but this is too flagship. $700 is not as entry level as OnePlus used to be. I think
they
need
like
to make a dumbed down...
Back in the day?
Yeah, they used to be super cheap, and then every year they just slowly picked up and became flagship, which I'm fine with, because I think the 8 Pro is a great value. If I had to get an Android phone, I'd probably get the 8 Pro. But, yeah, OnePlus 8's just a little too top tier. But I enjoy it. I'm liking it. They fixed that Discord issue that I had with my last Android phone. If you recall, I was sent a Pixel 3 and Pixel 3 XL for free, so I held on to those for a long time. I didn't have to return those, but I sold them because they sucked, and I didn't want to keep an Android phone that was like the Pixel, though I do have a lot more respect and enjoy using this phone a lot more than I did the Pixel phones, so that's why I'm not selling it or getting rid of it, just because there's nothing inherently wrong with it other than wireless charging would be nice, but it's just... I like having an Android phone to go to test out Android version of apps or to test out some launcher, some Android feature. So I have a flagship that I can mess around with when I need to. But it's not a phone that looks terrible like the Pixels did. It's usable.
Which launcher do
you use? I could put my SIM in it. I'm just using the stock one right now, but if I want to experiment with other launchers, I can. Though, the only reason I haven't put my SIM in this is because I know how much it'll upset you guys. So you're the only reason.
I will do unspeakable things to you if you turn green bubble again.
Family friendly, Nick.
Yeah, what the heck? Breaking off character here. I don't mind.
The unspeakable things were, you know, shower you with gifts and...
Stop it. Oh, oops, Nick.
The unspeakable has become speakable.
Shut up, Drew. The brain named itself.
Ooh. Find muck. Yeah, it's a... The thing is, I'm home all day anyway, so if I put my SIM in here, not really much would change at the end of the day.
Except I would be triggered and angry in the corner.
I'm trying to use it.
Green bubble.
I'm trying to use it more than my iPhone, just for the sake of, like, okay, I'm going to do split screen again, picture in picture with YouTube, because people want those on iOS. But I try them on here, and I'm like, it's so... in the way all the time. Anytime I try to do split screen or picture in picture, it's always like I got to move it out of the way because it's always in front of buttons or the keyboard cuts things off. And so, I'm just like, I see why it's not on iOS.
I think it's coming to iOS, though. I think it's coming this year.
No.
Picture in picture?
No.
Yeah. Or, well, their version of picture in picture. We heard.
How will theirs be different?
Well, because we heard that weird iOS 14, like, widget looking home screen stuff that's an actual thing that their picture in picture might be you open up YouTube as a widget on your thing and you can just like navigate throughout and it's
first
still...
off YouTube is not going to be part of this because YouTube still hasn't updated the iPad app.
I didn't say YouTube
tip.
I'm not saying
you
but
did say YouTube you literally just said YouTube, Randy.
Hold on, Nick. What I'm saying is picture
no
picture
I'm not
gonna
hold on
thing.
You messed
no,
up and
on,
this is the one time in the show you have messed up and I'm gonna talk over you right now
YouTube.
Because I don't
picture
like you
and picture is also Apple TV Plus, which is exclusive. Picture in picture can be from the Photos app. Picture in picture could be FaceTime and something else. It's not just YouTube. But I'm just using YouTube as an example. Picture in picture.
YouTube's a terrible example,
is
what I'm saying. Because YouTube
that is built in from whatever is system, as well as whatever developers want to get onto it. But I do believe that this widget thing is going to cause some form of picture in picture on iOS. I might be wrong, but if that leaked image thing is real, then that why wouldn't that be a thing?
I think widgets on the home screen are different from. Picture-in-picture layouts as you're going through different apps and stuff. I think those are two different things. Like more data from one app on the home screen versus something that follows you around if you open other apps and the video is still playing.
What
I
if,
think the main
what
reason
if the video
is because
shrinks down and fits in the notch? Like in just one of the sides?
Too small.
Goes down just a little
way
bit.
Way too small. Nah, wouldn't work.
Okay. I picture, what if you could put it on the dock?
Ooh.
But that wouldn't be picture in picture.
I mean, but like in the sense that it's pinned. It's pinned and it stays wherever you slide. Like the dock.
So you can just watch videos while you're looking at your home screen? Like what's the point? I don't get it.
Listen, we're just three idiots speculating. We haven't had time.
Call yourself an idiot, sir.
I'm a smart idiot, but I'm an idiot nonetheless. We don't know.
No, I don't think they'll do it just because they see as the screen is too small, and I can kind of agree with that. I think the option would be fine. I'm not against there being an option. I'm just saying I wouldn't use it because anytime I try to do the picture-in-picture thing on the OnePlus phone, which is a very large display, it's always covering up a button or an option that I need to reach eventually, so I have to keep moving it around. Mm. And when they shrink it down, it's incredibly small that you can barely even get much detail out of the video. It's not a great viewing experience. It's just Android going multitasking. We can do multitasking. You know, it's they're not being practical about it, and that's why I can tell it's very un-Apple like. Whereas the iPad, you have all this screen real estate, you have room to put a picture in picture and not cover up buttons, and the video is still quite large. Even on the iPad, you can see quite a bit of detail. Whereas on a phone, it's
but imagine
maybe
you take the
at
size.
Best,
go ahead
a Pro Max feature. You need a 6.7 inch phone,
maybe. But imagine taking YouTube as an example, Nick.
Not going to happen.
YouTube, and you watch it in portrait mode, like in vertical. That's not the best viewing out of all the options you have, but it is an option, especially when you slide down, and it's still there. And yes, it's not like me pixel peeping, but I can see the content. I can hear the feedback. Imagine the same thing. It slides down, and even though it's slightly cropped, or even if it's 2-1 ratio, who cares? But the point is that people do watch it. I know I watch it when I hold my phone like this, not like this. And when you slide down, it's kind of there. It's a background feature as you're looking for the next thing. I mean, when you're watching video as a whole, if you're not putting it on a TV or a screen or whatever, most people are not devoting 100% of their attention to the screen anyway.
I would be surprised if anyone is watching this show and it's full 1080p in full screen, just watching.
You guys are fools. On their big iMac 5K resolution. What are you doing? But I'm just saying, like, something like that, I trust Apple might be able to maybe find a way. And if not them, the developers would for their apps.
That's true.
People are creative.
I'm not for it now, and if Apple will do it, I'll probably like it.
You weren't for the keyboard either, and we made you convinced. So
they got to prove to me how it works.
They haven't.
Right.
They haven't let you down
state,
yet.
If they lifted it over from Android, I wouldn't.
If it's not
it.
Apple if that, TV if just... remote, you have not been let down yet.
I have been let down just in categories where I guess it didn't matter that much. I still feel. I think the 12 Pro is going to have a 60 hertz display. I'm just coming to terms with that. Yeesh. And just accepting it, because I think they need something for the 2021 iPhone besides no port, because that's not even a selling point. That's just a negative that's going to prevent people from upgrading. So if the only way to get 120 hertz is to buy an iPhone with no port in it, then worth it to me. I don't care. I don't use the port.
I don't think consumers care about refresh rate like that, which is why they get the
they don't but the pros do. I'm talking the pro iPhones.
Remember how you made the argument that the Mac Pro is for a very specific audience, and I think it's not enough to really sway the pendulum. It's not the, it's
well, that's because it was priced way differently than the last
right
Mac Pro.
but still, even with the features that it comes with, and it's overpriced everything, 5G for a Qualcomm, like the whole thing. I don't think selling points will be refresh rate as it will be Apple Glass, the better cameras, LiDAR, iOS 14, and whatever things they have up their sleeve with iOS 14.
That's not pro exclusive stuff.
No, but my point is that, like, if they were to bring it, the higher refresh rate, I do see it coming this year as opposed to next year. If next year all they're doing is killing off a port, I don't think that's all they would be doing next year. And especially if it is a negative, because most people, just like they can't see different resolutions, and the 10R and 11 have been proof of that, mm-hmm. I don't think they're indifferent about, you know, refresh rate. I think what they're
going to... I know, but there needs to, like... Average consumer doesn't see refresh rate. I get that. But that's why the 12 and 12 Max won't have it. But I think the 12 Pro and 12 Pro Max need it. Because the displays are too similar.
No, I don't think so. I think...
You don't think two 6.1-inch OLED displays that have $250 between them?
I think...
Those are different enough?
I never see the refresh rate. I literally cannot tell the difference between a 24 FPS cinematic YouTube video and Drew's crispy, buttery, whatever, 80 frames a second, 90, 195 frames a second.
I know you don't, Nick.
So,
but
I don't
care.
What
do the pros have that warrant the $250 to $350 extra? Telephoto? LiDAR? That's it?
Yeah, that's
and
enough
battery.
For me.
Maybe
battery. And the
battery.
Stainless steel design? That would be enough.
Then they're flopping. They're flopping big time then.
Well...
No, because their bread and butter is going to be the budget models of all of them.
That's why I said the pros are flopping.
Oh.
That's my whole mindset here is that
but
120 hertz or not, they're not going to sell well because OLED is coming to the cheaper models. And if they don't even have a display advantage, if they can't even get some type of display exclusive feature, then there's going to be record low sales for the pro iPhones because everyone's just going to buy the 12 or 12 Max. That's it.
If I bought the lower end model, it would be because of screen real estate for me, small. I like smaller. I don't want the biggest one.
Mm-hmm.
And so refresh rate for me has never been a variable. And I can tell the difference. And I can tell the difference between a 90 and a 120. I can see the difference. Mm-hmm. It's not a deciding factor. And if they don't do it, I don't care. And I think a lot of people just don't care. I don't think they would flop because I think a lot of people don't care. I know you care, Drew. I genuinely think more people don't than they do care. I think they care about battery, camera, iOS. And now nope. services.
Well, those things are all – everyone who cares about that is not getting the Pro iPhone.
I also disagree because some of them want that extra camera lens, the wide angle or the portrait. I think some people want
if it's
the
camera. If it's 250, 350 more and it looks identical, it's not going to work. I don't think people would pay that much extra just for the telephoto.
I agree. But some people – but – the LiDAR sensor, with Apple Glass being announced and all this other stuff, I think what's going to push the Pro models.
I don't
models,
think that'll be announced at that event.
So you're going on the premise that it's not going to be announced.
Mm. I think it will require an iPhone 12 or better, but it won't require a 12 Pro. The Apple Glass compatibility will be with the A14 chip, not the iPhone camera sensors.
But some of the features that will come with Apple Glass will be in LiDAR, which will then eventually on iOS 14 come to the iPad Pro that has LiDAR. And anybody who has LiDAR gives you a whole new realm of new features, and that's the selling
AR?
Point. Yeah.
I don't think that's going to persuade, but just the same reason people aren't impressed with it on the 2020 iPad Pros.
That's
12 Max is going to do fantastic. We all, I think, can agree on that. 6.1 inch and 5.4 inch iPhones.
That's going to be the best seller.
We all agree that's going to sell like crazy. But the Pro iPhones, I think, are going to get more neglect and more people passing over them than ever before. Than the 10S, than the 10. Like, people are all going to move away from them because, as you said earlier, camera is very low for a lot of people's priority. And right now, the Pro iPhones aren't selling as well as the 11.
Right.
And that's when they have OLED and when they have screen size advantages, because you can't get, the 5.8 inch model for cheaper. You can't get the 6.5 inch model for cheaper. But now you're going to have two screen sizes on two separate iPhones with a huge price gap between the two. And they're all going to have the same A14. They're all going to have 5G. They're all going to have OLED. And if you don't have any noticeable from the front differentiating factor, then
the iOS 14. I think iOS 14 is going to play a big factor with LiDAR and something way more than AR. I think things that we haven't thought about are going to be announced. Reason why we never see leaks about iOS 14 is because that's way more controlled, and people have time and time again impressed the newest iOS. And I feel like with LiDAR, other things are going to be implemented besides measuring app to get a better accuracy on something. I think iOS 14 is going to be the deciding factor about why you would choose to either get a Pro with all its new capabilities, or you just stick with what you're already familiar with, which would be the Max and the regular iPhone 12. So stick with what you know, or get these new features that come with iOS 14 and the LiDAR included. I don't think it has anything to do with ports or refresh rate.
I just can't. I can't think of what those features are, and I can't see. Like,
I know,
Apple
me too.
Has
that's what's
making
me excited about WWDC.
There are no, there is no need for these feature differentials, though, because there are lots of people who just buy the Pro phone because it's the expensive one, because it has the stainless steel, because it has the extra, camera lens that looks a little bit different and has the matte black instead of the
less
gloss
and less
black.
Though.
I would
There's
say
less and less people.
I would
doing
say that.
That
is very true because the budget ones are getting so good, but Apple doesn't care because the budget ones are making a profit and they don't. They're fine selling everyone a budget phone, but they make these expensive ones to make even more of a margin to really add to their premium visibility of their brand. Because at the end of the day, Apple is. They're trying to maintain their premium brand status. I think with the iPhone SE, they really brought it down market, which is great because more people can get to the iPhone and get in on the Apple ecosystem, which is good. But that's also degrading the premiumness of the Apple brand. If I'm going to spend $1,700 on a maxed out 11 Pro Max, but I could get virtually the same experience on a $499 XR or almost the same experience on a $399 SE, that kind of degrades the premiumness of the brand as far as the public's perception of it, because you don't need to spend $1,000+ on a phone when you can get one for $400 that works great, which is what Apple is going towards. And I think that's going to really help them dominate the market. But they're still trying to maintain that premium brand price, which is why they have the $700 wheels, which is why they have the $6,000 iMac Pros Pro Display XDR with the $1,000 stand. They're desperately trying to keep that premium status.
Right, but what they did with those things at those higher prices is beat industry standards. And industry standards are moving towards 120 hertz. Pixel 4 had 90 hertz. This $700 phone has 90 hertz. S20 had 120 hertz at $1,000, and that came out in March. And if these things are going to be carrying us all through 2021 and still rocking 60 hertz, it would be like if the Pro Display XDR cost what it cost but was 1440p, no extreme dynamic range. It was just a basic, like, it's neglect.
I don't think
that's
a fair comparison. We're talking about a price difference of
$300. The Pro Display, yeah, but it's the Pro Display compared to other reference monitors was like thousands of dollars, tens of thousands of dollars cheaper. Whereas the 12 Pro and 12 Pro Max aren't necessarily offering something that the competitors can't offer for cheaper.
With the iOS,
that's not what's happening.
Though. That's the kind of their...
Right, but you have that across the whole... You have that on the 12 and 12 Max. It's
not a
Pro exclusive.
There's always
going to
be that exclusive feature, just like the 7 Plus had portrait mode, or the iPhone 10 had the swipe gestures. There's always going to be those little premium features that are just going to differentiate iOS just enough so that us Apple sheeple fork over the extra money for it.
If I could add a little...
But it's shrink. The list is shrinking, is my point.
Exactly. But that list is still going to be
why
there.
That's why it won't do well. That's why less and less people will buy it.
Fewer and fewer.
So I'm going to disagree with one thing, though, Nick.
That's all my point was.
And that's going to
It's not going to do well, but the whole that's what they're choosing. And I think they're going to see the sales do poorly and then not push it as hard.
Randy, would you like to speak?
I'm trying to. So the thing that I disagree with your premise about the premium brand. Oh, he lost me. Is that why he's talking? Oh, hang on. Tell him I'm reconnecting.
Technical difficulties, folks. In the meantime, Drew, let's talk about how Randy.
Okay,
there he is.
There he's back.
That explains why he was talking over me. I'm like, ugh. All right. So the reason
you were just the exclamation mark.
Yeah, but I heard you. You were one too. But anyway, so the only thing I'm going to disagree about the luxury brand thing, Nick, is that something a little bit more relevant or something more applicable than the wheels.
You're saying
the
I'm not relevant?
No. You're bringing up things that are obviously like just like. Headline news titles and stuff like that.
Oh, thanks.
So here's how they keep their luxury brand that has nothing to do with iOS or the phones. MacBooks. Overpriced MacBooks for features that are kind of like, like maybe, oh, 8th or 8th gen Intel, stuff like that. Price like that, that's where they keep their status with a luxury and actually selling you a product is in the
Mac
line.
I think that keeps their pro brand. The luxury side of Apple is a little bit different than the pro side.
Luxury is also subjective to the sense, not just within price or product, but subjective to the sense that we were talking about the watch bands earlier and stuff like that and how the old one felt more luxurious or the Milanese loop or things like that. Pricing as a whole and where I'm getting at with like charging because I'm trying – with the iPhones, why it's not the same thing is because – they're not trying to keep their luxury branding with iPhones when it is their best seller and it's their most profitable part of their whole business model right now. But they can still maintain a certain persona without just doing it just for headline news in their Mac line, for example, because we have a lot of critiques about the MacBook right now, 13-inch. Even the 16-inch that's technically there. With the webcam, it's like my best example. There are certain things that can be updated, and they just are not prioritizing it right now for the sake of that they don't really have to because it's not really taking a chunk out of their profits the way the iPhone or the iOS line as a whole is. So they can keep their luxury brand the same way and still be seen as a luxury company as well as sell a $500 iPhone SE, and it does not change the persona of it because – they have to be practical where it's smart with iOS, and that is no thought. Like, you can't refute the fact that that's their best-selling category with hardware and software. Mm-hmm. Everything else with the services and everything, it's all complementary under iOS. And Mac, for better or for worse, it's not their selling point, their center points anymore. And that's okay because industry changes and things move forward. But you can keep your luxury and still bring a lot of cost factors down on iPhones.
Wow.
I don't know what we agree or disagree on.
I don't
on.
Know. I kind of got confused there for a little while. Kind of sounds
all
like
I know
Randy
is that it's not going to have 120 hertz, and I'm going to be disappointed. And I think the Pro iPhones are not going to make it in the top 10 global smartphone shipments this year.
I'll buy 8 of them just so they do.
But there will be 30 that just stick with the 12 Max because they can get the same display on that now.
Then I guess I'm just going to have to go rob an Apple store.
At least you canceled Apple Music. You
yes,
can afford it.
Because I've canceled Apple Music. I can now afford that.
Alrighty. We'll talk to you all next week, gents. Enjoy WWDC in 3 weeks. See you there. In a way. Bye.